Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lam.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in.
Okay, we are live and direct. We are recording.
So, yeah, apologies for, I guess, the timings and everything. Long story short, I actually... So, yeah, looking at different apartments and houses and ended up leaving in a rush to go to a house viewing, but left my keys inside the current apartment. So I was locked out, didn't have my car keys. My car keys was inside as well. So I couldn't drive to this viewing. So I ended up just having to call an Uber to get us there. On the way to the Uber, I looked at this 24-hour locksmith thing. Yeah, they came and drilled through that whole thing. So yeah, that's my bad on the timing. They just put a new lock on my door.
Damn.
Sounds like a costly mistake.
I've done those types of things before, unfortunately. I'm not proud. Yeah.
I think being locked out is the worst. It's just the worst thing, worst feeling. I don't know if that's ever happened with you two.
It sounds like a costly mistake. How much did it cost?
Around £300.
Whoa. Serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Locksmiths are so expensive.
Oh, boy.
Do you know, I got this friend, good guy, Caesar. Shouts out to the homie Caesar. French guy. He works for a French engineering company where they make BMW steering wheels. It could be Mercedes. It could be different companies. I don't know. This dude works on steering wheels. But he was telling me a story recently where one of his colleagues made a simple mistake, but it's going to cost the company 1 million euros.
Whoa.
What was the mistake?
It was something to do with on the form, the client had requested an item to be tested 4 times, but he had put it through the test once. So when he took it back to them, it's like, yeah. They asked, did you do it 4 times? He's like, no, but everything's good. We tested it once. They're like, yeah, that's not what we paid for. Now the cost lies in using the machine to do the test. To use the machine once costs X amount, but the amount of times that they have to use it would equate to 1 million euros.
That's a lot of money.
For a simple mistake.
Does that come out of his paycheck? Because that's if that was me and I made that mistake, I'd be thinking, so am I still getting paid this month or for the rest of the year? Or
my friend goes, he was the one who had to break the news to like the... It was this big board meeting where they were presenting the final product. And he had to like go check because there were some issues. He went and checked, came back and confirmed that, yeah, there's a problem. And he goes, the moment when he said it, the faces of all the people in the board meeting just dropped. And he goes, dude, I've never seen anything like that. He found it absolutely hilarious. I guess so do I. But he goes, usually the problems they have are, let's say, a few hundred thousand. But a 1 million euro problem is a big problem. Not so
and
bad for the 300
mistake,
pounds,
right? Yeah, I mean, that makes me feel a little bit better, but I'm not in the realm of making or in conversations of 1 million or anything like that. I'm just your regular dude trying to make as much money as I can, you know, coming from where we come from. But yeah.
One thing... Go on.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, for me, one thing, obviously we have... It's not just our voices on the podcast today. We have a guest with us. Virginia, all the way from Italy.
Hello.
I'm not going to say too much, but I'll let her introduce herself and then we can just go start chopping it up.
Yeah, give yourself a shout out. Big yourself up. This is the stage right now. You're on
shout
the stage.
Shout out
right
to
now.
Veronica.
I know, I'm nervous. Which hat should I do?
Did this guy say Veronica?
Veronica. Who's Veronica? I said Virginia, bro. My
Who
bad.
Who said Veronica? AJ.
Virginia.
I remember your name.
Do you know what the issue is? You've got a lot of V's in your name, and your name sounds like something biblical.
Oh,
so
that's a good recuperation of what you just did. Good.
So the issue is my brain is all messed up with your name. I'm like, whoa. So please forgive me for that, and I'll leave you to your introductions.
I'm not Veronica. I'm Virginia.
It's a good start.
I'm a feminist writer. I am good friends with Oz. We're part of a beautiful group of poets who write to... Why do we write? Oh, for many reasons, I guess. But we get together in a safe space and just kind of like write it down. And then I write about feminism, masculinity, womanhood. And from I like to say from a poetic place. Like joyful and poetic place. Yes, that's my hat for today. I have a few more. Maybe they'll come out. We'll see.
Oh, pretty multifaceted. Okay, so maybe you are Veronica in some of the other things that you're doing as well.
For sure. Well, we'll see. When you least expect it from me.
You know, and welcome to the show. It's great to have you on here. But
oh, thank you so much.
I think, yeah, the whole Veronica, Virginia thing, I had something similar, and maybe it's not similar, but today. So it can be quite confusing. My name's Mohammed, and I was having a conversation with someone at work, and they were like, oh, how's Ramadan going? And I was like,
assumptions
I
was here.
I mean, it's not as like, bad as calling me Veronica, probably.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know if...
What I mean, sorry, I mean, theirs is worse than calling me Veronica. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether I should feel bad because it's like, maybe I should be fasting. I don't know, but yeah, I had to kind of explain. Yeah, not fasting. I know it's obviously a bit misleading. My name's Mohammed. So it would, yeah, your first assumption would be he's a Muslim.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I had said that, the first was like, oh, I'm so sorry, my assumptions. I was like, it's cool. I've kind of had it my whole life. Even contemplated changing my name because of it.
Really?
But yeah, it is.
I never knew that. That's kind of deep. Because of the assumptions and the association that comes with such a biblical Islamic name.
Yeah, and also I'm just tired of being hassled in the airports. They always got to do
double check
everywhere I go.
Can you please step out the line, sir? Can you please step out the line?
Yeah,
random check.
Unless it's a Muslim country where I get welcomed massively with love and oh brother this, yeah, it's just a hassle anywhere else.
What would you change your name to if you was to change your name?
Scenic Power
Starscream.
Get it, Mbaba. No, yeah. I don't know what I'd go for.
Oh, snap.
You know Russell
excuse
Peters,
me,
guys.
Excuse
He's
me,
so funny.
Virginia. Excuse me. I find that highly offensive.
What? It's Russell Peters.
What does that mean?
He's so funny. There's like this whole sketch on him.
I'm literally taking the piss. You don't have
oh
to explain.
My God.
But I'm interested.
Virginia,
go and explain this Russell Peters thing.
Before you
explain Russell Peters, just know you're going to get so much of that throughout our conversation. So
okay, cool.
It's up to you to take it with a pinch of salt or if you're going to rebuttal or however. But you're going to get a lot of that. That's
you got to clap back.
We've just peeped the iceberg on the horizon. We haven't even seen the tip of it yet. We've peaked on the horizon. You feel me? So
I feel like AJ's the joker of the three.
I hear that.
No, it's always we are a family of jokers. We all say absolutely ridiculous things, and it's just different styles. So like that. Oz is very quick witted. Like sometimes this guy says some things, and I'm just like, that's hilarious. And no one figures it out. He's just so witty.
I say it to myself as well.
It's just so witty. Like,
damn, I'm funny.
And Mo, since he's a kid, has just been on this dad joke hype. So
yeah,
he's really done it for so long.
Really?
I like dad jokes now because of him.
Yeah, just keep it cheesy. Keep it simple. I think that way anyone can get the jokes. That's the way my humor is, I guess.
But one thing I will say, Virginia, as Oz says, we're just silly. The whole premise of this podcast, as you may have figured out, because I understand you listen to all the episodes.
Yes. Bravo.
Shouts out to Virginia.
Shouts out to homework.
Virginia, Veronica, and the gang. I did my
homework. Also, shouts out to all the Muslims during Ramadan who are fasting. We've got a lot of family members who are going through that right now as well. So shouts out to all them.
Shouts out to Sage. He's also fasting because he comes. He breaks fast. This is with the Writers Daily, the writing group that Virginia mentioned before. And he breaks his fast just before or during the session, still finding time to commit to it. So it's not easy, but it's just blessings on top of whatever they're going to be getting.
So to conclude what I was saying, you may be aware that this space is just silly conversations. What we figured out retrospectively, actually, through feedback from friends and family who have listened to the podcast, is that this podcast reminds them, the people who give us the feedback, that it reminds them of when we were kids and teenagers and all that, hanging out in our house, like watching TV on the sofa or having a meal together. And this is what it is. We're just going to tease each other, find out some stuff, perhaps pick up some gems. So please don't take any teasing serious, and witty comebacks are much wanted.
I'm a banter as well.
Give it to us.
I'm a teaser as well.
Because do Italians say banter? I didn't know that.
Oh, what's the Italian for banter? Or is that even a part of the culture? Surely. Because that's something that's universal. I guess,
like, banter is like joking, not like just...
Yeah, but banter is only used by a certain type of person in the UK, if I'm honest.
Is it? That's so interesting.
Not everyone uses banter.
I disagree. I disagree, but I think banter's on all levels.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, my observations have been banter's been that, like, cheeky, chappy type. It's a bit of banter, isn't it?
Really?
That's the cheeky, chappy type.
What? Hey. What was that?
I hear you, bro. I
don't really know a lot of these people, but the most famous one I can think of is Joey Essex.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy to use banter.
But
no idea who he is.
But would you say, because there's a term that we use, witty banter, would you say that he uses witty banter? Because surely, from my...
I've never used witty banter.
From my understanding of Joey
Maybe
Essex...
I used it already in this podcast, I don't know.
Who knows? It's all about growth. We're learning. But from my understanding of Joey Essex, his banter level isn't to, I don't know, a doctor or a professor having banter amongst colleagues or whatever. There's levels to banter for sure, and I believe it. That language of banter is used on all the levels.
So just so we verify, what is banter? What is it exactly?
Are you asking me?
What's your definition?
What's your definition of banter as a foreign person?
My definition of banter is just like just kind of like hanging out and joking and kind of like teasing each other constantly and kind of like shooting like jokes, I don't know, like exchanging.
Yeah, no, I guess that's how I saw it as well, yeah.
Would you like to hear the Oxford Languages?
Yes, please.
Definition, okay. So banter used as a noun, the playful and friendly exchange of teasing remarks.
Exactly.
An example is, there was so much good-natured banter. Now, using it as a verb, an exchange remarks in a good-humoured, teasing way. The example is, the men bantered with the waitresses. I'm not sure if I like that example, though.
With the what waitresses?
With the waitresses. Yeah, the man bantered with the waitresses.
It's highly sexist, but...
Yeah, do you know what?
Listen, Oxford Languages.
Oxford language is so sexist, like, it's insane.
Well, you know, I was speaking to Oz earlier, and he was saying how you're a feminist... And he had also said that we got some feedback, which perhaps was from you, that our podcast is quite male-dominated. So not just getting a woman on, but getting a woman who knows more about feminism on the podcast is a great thing. Like, I have some ignorant ass questions to give you, because please forgive me, this is how I'm going to start with this whole feminism thing. It seems like women expect men to know the right things all the time, and it's like, you don't even get taught this shit in school. There is no living in the world classes in school. There's not how to interact. And then you say, people say, oh, you should learn it from your parents. Yeah, the parents didn't learn it either. Mm-mm. We've just kind of culturally gone through the motions and seen how people are treated through media or whatever, and or through friends. There's nothing for me to help people better understand how to interact with each other.
Other than the school experience itself.
Other than the school experience itself.
Which you get in the bare bones, I hear you.
Well, you probably get the worst of it. Like, I don't know how it was for you, Virginia, and please do tell you after I give my example. And I don't know if that's sexist. You see, is it sexist that I say you have to go after me? I should go first and you should go after me?
Okay,
I've got some ignorant ass questions for you. Some ignorant ass questions.
We're walking a fine line today.
This is all good. I mean, I think that this is exactly what's needed. So there's like an underlying factor, which is that this society is like patriarchal and extremely sexist. There's also the fact that things are changing very quickly, but I don't know if that's true. But like the level, so the first wave of feminism was more like obvious, like, okay, let's get the vote, or like, let's get divorced, blah, blah. Now, like, there's like, it's multi-layered. So there's like, it goes from like rape culture and femicide to like subtle sexism that we all, including me, have inside of us because we grew up in a society that is like that. So I think that it's all good, especially for like men now feel so uncomfortable talking about feminism and so like, oh, like I'm afraid to go wrong. But like the one thing that we can like take out of this table is the fear to like say something wrong or make a mistake. Like if we are coming here with like humility and curiosity, which you clearly are, by like even the way you introduce like your question, then it's all good. And no, it's not sexist that I go after you. Like whatever, whoever goes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So and you're definitely on the wavelength. Your answer for me is on the wavelength of the theme of the podcast we're going for, which is just comfortable place to have comfortable conversations. Because for sure, I want to learn. I'll love to learn.
Yeah, we're all here for that. We're all here for the learning, for the growth, 100%. I think that's the main reason for inviting Virginia to come share this space with us, to up our knowledge, and obviously to give impart gems onto her also. Because
we're all going through that same process. Because your experience is unique as well. I mean,
hey, that's what it is. The sage of the three paths. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Episode 6 coming out soon.
Ooh. You're saying that as we've recorded like loads of episodes.
I already said episode 20 coming out soon.
Check my mixtape dropping in 2050.
This is your episode. This is your special. That's the one thing you should.
Oh
yeah.
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 This is your special episode VV.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool. So the example I was going to give was growing up in school with mixed gendered school, but obviously my friends were all men, and even not just my friends, just all the boys in general. Like, you learn the worst stuff in school from your peers. You learn the absolute worst stuff. You see the worst stuff, you learn the worst stuff. Like my first pornographic encounter was through friends in school. Some dude had a mobile phone.
Mine too. And
that's like, so it's the same for the women.
I guess
do you guys learn the worst about of how to live in the world through your female peers?
No. I think as women you just you somehow kind of live the worst of the world. I mean, because you're kind of a, you're like a receiver of certain things, which as a man, you're not, or you're less, like ass grabbing and like that's like from harassment to
I've been harassed several times and I've had my ass grabbed.
Yeah, and I mean I'm not saying you didn't, but see I'm doing the tapping. Who of you does the tapping? Interesting.
AJ's the tapper.
My hands are under the table this time.
No, but I mean, as a woman, you're like just more vulnerable in this world right now. As a black woman, even more. As a disabled woman, as a trans black woman, even more. There's a hierarchy. Like, I think it's inevitable, and some people have certain privilege, others have others. But I guess my experience, like as a white woman, will be different from yours. But doesn't mean that I got harassed and you didn't, or
I wasn't saying, oh well, I get it too. I was just saying in general for the conversation, like, yo, snap, I had my ass grabbed as well. It was weird.
It's yeah. And you remember it, like I don't remember it.
I was like a teenager. I was rather young.
Yeah.
I was in a shopping mall.
I would dress up in a shopping mall? By who were you? Who grabbed your ass?
A group of girls.
What, a group of girls? Like five
nothing
men.
But bone.
I know. This dry
you
Margo
was quite
man.
Skinny back then, must have been grabbing nothing but bone.
And what did you think? Like, did you...
It was like a drive-by. I didn't know what was going on. These women just rushed past me. One of them grabbed my butt and goes, sorry. And they all just kept on running. I didn't know what was going on. It was over just as quick as it started.
Damn. Yeah, I had a, I don't want to say similar experience. I've had a couple of experiences where I've been groped myself. On the butt, in the crotch area. And honestly, it is the most violating feeling ever. Because... it's like, hang on a moment. Who gave you the
permission?
The permission to do that. Like, that's my private part. Like, I don't even touch this stuff too often. So why should you be touching this stuff?
He's got this semen retention without consent. Point.
Yeah, I'm trying to do my best to, you know, hold it in. but yeah, one thing I can definitely say, it was the most violating feeling that I've had. And I just don't think it's cool. Don't touch other people if you wouldn't want them to touch you in the same way, or even if you would, just don't touch them.
Just don't.
Just don't do it. Just don't do it. You know, ask for consent.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Walking up to a woman in the street and saying, hi, I think that butt of yours is... they wouldn't say butt.
Rather fantastic.
I think your buttocks are shaped in a way that I would absolutely love to grope. Would you mind if I gave you a quick ravishing?
Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics. Anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture. Each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Jana, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King. You know what, I was told the story from someone who I know, obviously not to name names, but she was telling me of an experience where, like, stuff has happened in the past where she's carrying some trauma with her, yeah? So she was approached by this guy in a park. She was just sitting down writing in her journal or whatever. And this guy came over his intention was to bus move, to try and get her number or something. But he didn't come aggressively. He came trying to have a conversation with her, how she has described this story to me. But obviously, with considering her past, she's shut up shop instantly. For all guys, all even like the notion of to come over and have a conversation, regardless of your intention, she shut up shop. Now, my thing was, well, so you wouldn't even have a conversation with him? She was like, no. No, I just wasn't on it. And at the time, like in that instant, I was like, that's a lot to carry if you think about it. Like, whatever's happened in the past has made all other, you've demonized essentially all other males, which is a damn shame, because there's some gems out there, 100%. There are obviously some terrible people in this world who did the worst things. But as I thought about it more, I'm just like, I kind of understand if you yourself personally don't feel like you want to be approached in that manner. Perhaps if it was a different setting, she'll be able to react differently, or if she was in more of a comfortable environment or in a position where she could have a bit more power or control over the situation rather than some random dude walking up to her out on the street. I don't know. But I empathized on reflection after that initial, like, really though? Like, it's almost accusing me of wanting to do the bad thing, even though it's just by association. I thought that was a little bit, man.
Yeah, but that happens to a lot of men, that they get this thing of the association. But I also think, like, another super important thing is that men realize, like, the level of sexual trauma that most women, because we can, it's safe to say most women, I think. There's, like, statistics are, like, on another level. There's, like, 1 in 3 women has been sexually assaulted or raped or abused.
1 in 3?
Throughout her life. And or will...
That's a scary figure.
Or will be. And, like, I actually remember a few months ago. I'm surrounded by women that have had, like, severe sexual trauma. But I read this statistic and I was like, shit, like, because I'm 32, and this was said throughout their life that will happen to them. And, like, I've had trauma. I haven't had, like, severe sexual trauma that I remember. Like, that's another crazy thing. Like, some women that haven't experienced sexual trauma, and I've talked about this with friends, we're actually like, maybe, like, our bodies have shut it down and we don't remember, but maybe we've had it and we don't remember. Like, you're like, that's how insane it is that you doubt that you don't remember. But that was so scary for me, because I was like, oh, it says, like, throughout my life, so maybe it will happen to me.
And it still could happen to you. That's a scary concept.
It's so scary. I mean, there's, like, crazy statistics like this, even on, like,
Wikipedia.
Like, crime.
Oh, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
Yeah, I think it's actually triggered something in my memory. And I do remember or recall having a conversation with someone who I met in passing. It was like standing outside the shop whilst we're queuing, because obviously the COVID restrictions. And I think that person, it was a female, and they was quite drunk. So I think they were quite to open and
they were drunk.
Quite. It was the corner shop, maybe corner to go shop. Buy more alcohol.
Are you going to? I know.
It's London, baby. You know what it's like here. but yeah, it was quite striking. I don't know. We got into a conversation, found out they were from South Africa. And they were opening up to me about some quite traumatic statistics. And I think they had told me there was one moment they were in school, maybe, you know, 14, 15. And the teacher said, look to your right. Look to your left. 1 out of 3 of you is going to be raped.
Oh, God, it's just horrid.
Jesus. And I was just like, what?
That's quite an intense way to do it. But perhaps it's a scare tactic to really get people to deep it. And, well, however long ago she had this lesson or had that encounter with the teacher, she still remembers to this day. So perhaps that was the reason for it. Who knows?
It's also just a case of, you know, just that's the case. You have to accept it. There's not, you have a choice that this might happen to you. It's no, this is going to happen from 1 out of 3 of you. Which well, is, yeah, for me, it's
this comes back to what I'm saying with my earlier question to you. Well, not question, sorry, but my earlier thought of, well, it's not taught formally, which I think it needs to. And there's something that you've said, Virginia, which was it just shouldn't be done. They should know not to do it. And for me, it's like, should they? Why should... And this, you're going to have to bear with me because I'm going to take you on a bit of a journey here. And it may be ignorant as hell, but I think it's important to go to our lowest common denominator because there are a lot of people who think or act this way. And we know that because of the statistics of, you know, 1 in 3 women are going to get raped. It's easy to say, oh, boys should know. But, you know, one thing I had previously said was you learn the worst from your peers. So where are you really knowing, or where are you learning that you should know? It's like the whole concept of common sense, right?
No.
There's, oh, you should have common sense. It's like, nobody's got, there's not really things that are common. Maybe the sun comes up in the morning. That's common sense. But there's not really a universal way of living anywhere in the world. There's attempts, but in terms of day-to-day society, I don't think so.
I need a clarification of what you mean when you say should know. What are you talking about? You're like, should we know? But what are you talking about? Like, what's that should? What's that know, actually?
I'll just say my obvious opinion is obviously rape is bad. There's no joking about that or whatever. But I have heard through media throughout my life, women portrayed, you know, heard and seen, women portrayed in a way where they are in possessions for men. Now, let me make it clear again. It's not my opinion. These are things that I've seen recently. I think I was watching it with Yuma when I came to visit. There was this three feminist speaking to these three other guys. And I don't know, these guys were like
male
support. Yes, oh, like, my God. Like that.
Yes.
There are people like this, and it's not a small group of people.
But there's also fascists and Nazis.
For sure, but we teach that fascists and Nazis are bad. We don't teach formally that you shouldn't rape or women don't belong. Women are not here just to be providers to service men.
Okay.
As ridiculous as that sounds, it's not common knowledge.
Yeah, I think I get what you mean. It's more so that's something that you're just expected to know, whereas, you know, maybe in school it's not bad and this is... I understand.
You're just kind of left it here.
Like, okay, first of all, we need to... Okay, let's step back 1 second. First of all, this labeling of good and bad, this like binary way of thinking, is already, in my opinion, a very like masculine way of approaching a problem. And so already, like, for me, we need to like step out of that. And instead of like, I mean, your mother or your parents teach you that stealing, that you should not steal, but like all the, I don't know, I don't like this good and bad thing, and I think, and I find it almost like ridiculous to think that they would have to teach you that rapists are bad. Like, rapists are not like an idea, it's not an ideology, it's a, like, this stuff happens because there is a power dynamic that is highly patriarchal and extremely like masculine in the way that it approaches knowledge. And what we need to do is we need to flip that around. So instead of, like, first of all, even the way we've been taught history is, like, so bad. But the narratives are definitely changing around this thing. But, like, sexism is really not an ideology. It's, I wouldn't even know how to, like... it's like race. Like, I really think it's like similar to racism in the way that it approaches the power hierarchy of like.
I'll just say, racism totally makes sense to me. Obviously, I don't agree with it, but the ideology of a racist is something that is not new to me.
Okay.
Here's something for you guys to consider, or more so a question. Can gender be discussed separately from race, from class, or historic inequalities that we've been privy to or that we've learned about or heard about? Can these things be separated?
No.
But even as you was describing marginalized groups, V, you were saying a black trans woman. Adding the colour there, perhaps if it was just the gender, how deep could we go? Or are these things so intrinsically linked that we can't separate them, and you have to discuss all the levels with everyone consistently at all at one time?
I think so. I think so. Sorry, AJ. Yeah.
No, please go.
You have to, because it really is about power. Like, race, gender, class is about power. And this is why, like, I've been, like, eating books of, like, Audre Lorde, bell hooks, James Baldwin. Like, I really think it's all about the way that we look at power. And we look at power as something that we have rather than something that we are, okay? So a good way would be... So a good way that I have found to like look at power, something that is like looking at nature, like a waterfall is power. It doesn't have power. It is power. And like, if you look at nature, it's a great way that many people can relate to looking at it like that. But yeah, for sure. Like, it has to be, in my opinion, it's all like a result of like patriarchy and capitalism. Like, all of this is,
like, you know, you've got an episode title there. VV special, the end of patriarchal society. I like it.
God, I wish. Which doesn't how mean do you, like matriarchy.
How do you achieve it? How do you achieve it?
Like, because this, I think dialogue.
There you go. So this comes back to what I'm trying to say of course, in a perfect world, you wouldn't need to be told. It's common sense. But we don't live in a perfect world. Far from it. In fact, there's a lot of we've got a lot of women in our families. And Oz and I occupy, including Mo, I think, in our family, we're quite the oldest of the cousins and all that. We've got a huge family, but we're amongst the oldest. So there's a lot of younger ones with us and a lot of younger girls with us. And I think if any of this shiesty business ever happened to them, I don't know what I would do. But the only conclusion I can come to try and change it is not to say, there's nothing to say. It's more, well, the thing to say is to have the discussions, and not just discussions where there's not an assumption that these people already know what is right or wrong. Like you say, perhaps that is the issue of the binary way of thinking. It shouldn't be this is wrong and this is good, so don't do this and do this. It should be we should sit down and talk about it, and we're going to assume you guys are dumb as hell. We should aim so that the lowest common denominator understands what we're trying to do here, which is to live in a society where people can be safe regardless of their gender, race, age, whatever. Everyone just wants to kind of do their own thing and then die, right?
Yeah, but my question is, like, is it our job to teach, or is it your job to ask? Because that's different. And I think, and also the fact that you are surrounded by women, and there is so much shame in like talking about trauma or sexism, or like,
it's quite deep and personal as well, right? It's very deep and personal to do that.
My answer to you would be, we're in this together. It's got to be both ways. It's literally the society is us. So if we're not having these conversations and working together and trying to solve it together, men ain't going to do it by themselves. They need women. And women are not going to do it by themselves. They need men. I think we both need each other. We all need each other.
For sure.
And together, we'll be stronger. But there's this weird... People, you know, it's pick your side. What do you mean, pick your side? We're all on the same bloody side.
Yeah. And part of that, I feel, and I guess maybe this is the exposure that I've had, and I think it's great. I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to speak to someone who claims to be a feminist. So, yeah, I think part of it is the notion of the stereotype of the modern day feminist. I think a lot of people have...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Their preconceived notion of what a feminist is.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've... one thing that I've noticed as well, and I don't know, V, maybe this is something that you can maybe relate to, or maybe you've experienced yourself, and same for you guys, AJ and Oz. But one thing I've noticed is... more and more women that I speak to, when they hear feminism, it's almost as if they try not to associate themselves with it.
I've come across that as well, yeah.
And yeah, part of that for me is a bit confusing, because I guess the initial idea of feminism in my head when I was first exposed to it is, this is something for women's rights. But then... I feel like there's a bit of a disconnect, because I don't know, people perceive feminist people as, I don't know, they're going to grow their armpit hair, and because they don't like that, they don't agree with feminism. Mm. And I feel like there's just a disconnect between what it actually is and what it's what people perceive it as.
I'll add one thing before you say something, V.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that there's that, but you know, that's a small fraction.
Yeah.
Of them who are the extremists. There's extremists in everything. So perhaps there's a small fraction of them that get the most media attention, which is why most people, when they hear feminism or they say it, they make that association.
No, but that's done purposely. It's done to mock them. It's done so you don't take them seriously. There's real issues that feminists are fighting. Like, let me be clear. Okay, my experience in life is, as I've gone up the education ladder, I've come across women who are quite deep into the feminist ideology.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you do get a whole broad strokes of it. Mm. But a lot of the women are saying some real serious stuff that needs to be listened to and spoken about.
Mm-hmm.
But... No, I just think, like... So what I'm seeing, I'm like... highly opinionated, clearly, but what I'm seeing is that we're talking about theories, and this is not about theories. Like, if the word feminism makes people uncomfortable, then call it whatever you want. Call it Mary, call it Penn, call it Veronica, exactly. Like, I don't care. Like, I think I literally, and I can tell you, I've had so many conversations with men and about feminism, and most of them end up talking about semantics literally for an hour, and it's useless. This is not what we're trying to get to. So, like, if I think that there needs to be, from people who want to learn or understand what feminism is, and I'm owning the word feminism because I have a very straight up definition of it. And yes, feminism is about equality, but for me, it's also about, like, a radically different approach to knowledge, to, like, celebrating joy, celebrating life as poetry, respecting the earth, respecting the body as sacred, loving, like, self-love, our looks, our gender, like, loving all of that. It's, for me, it's an ideology that's rooted in love. And, like, I said it in a thing I wrote once. I was like, feminism is rooted in love. It is colored with ancestral rage. But I also think that when we...
That's beautiful, by the way. Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you. Can we get a reload?
Yeah.
Can we get a reload of that line?
Pull it.
That feminism. Okay. Well, feminism is rooted in love and colored in ancestral rage.
Mm. Now we are here clicking, B.
But like, honestly, I really think that it is so important that if you are a person that you don't know, and whether you're a man or what, just ask, what do you want to know? What is it that you want to know?
Hey, Okello here. This section is a space where we'll be sharing short stories, creative experiences, and art. This week, I'll be telling you about the tale of Sengbe Pair the Gallant. The tale of Sengbe Pair the Gallant, part 7. The case reached the US Supreme Court, where Pierre and his fellow Africans were found to have rightfully defended themselves from being enslaved through the illegal Atlantic slave trade and were released. They ruled that Pierre and the others had been illegally captured and thus sold into slavery. A few American supporters helped raise money for the return of 35 of the survivors to Sierra Leone.
With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.